New numbers released today by the Department of Labor show strong gains in U.S. wages and job growth, even exceeding Wall Street expectations.
Job numbers grew over the past 11 months, and in revised data, last November stands out as a stellar month with 423,000 jobs created, the most since 2010. According to the report, workers are seeing more money in their wallets, too.
Is this a short-term uptick or the sign of a long-term economic recovery? Here to help us put these numbers in context is Brian Jacobson. He's Chief Portfolio Strategist at Wells Fargo Funds Management and Associate Professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Brian, thanks a lot for joining us. Brian, are you there? We'll try to bring Brian Jacobson up for our talk about the economy. Brian, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Yes, okay.
Reason, you guys cut out on me there.
Oh, weird. We must hit a mute button or something. Anyhow.
I didn't say anything offensive yet. It was preemptive.
Well, we'll see. Not a lot of stuff to make us say bad words in this report, but a lot of times we see in the last year, 2 years, all right, here's some positive news. Here's the yeah, but downside. Is there a downside here that we're not seeing in the headlines?
Well, as an economist, I feel as though my job is to always point out the cloud behind every silver lining. So, there is some downside here. I do have to point out that wages still aren't growing as rapidly as what I think most people would like, especially if you're in one of those occupations in which wages just really aren't keeping up with inflation. Year on year for the entire labor force, wages went up about 2.2%. So that's a little bit above the pace of inflation, but it's still not to the point where we could actually declare, I think, victory over some of the recessionary forces that feel like they're kind of dragging on the overall economy. So this was a very good number. The last 3 months have been spectacular from payrolls gains, but there's still a lot of room for improvement.
So with staying with that wage thing, and this is something that people have been watching a long time saying, okay, yeah, we are adding 100, 200, 300,000 jobs a month. So why aren't the wages going up? Some people say this could be a first sign, but what do we know? Why are wages slow to recover even as job numbers go up?
Well, one of the reasons is because a person's compensation isn't just all wages. The cost of benefits has actually gone up a little bit faster than the cost of wages. So that's one of the contributing factors. So when you look at another measure, say the employment cost index, that's growing at a slightly faster pace than what just hourly wages are. So maybe just focusing so much on wages isn't giving us the whole picture of what it costs to employ a person. I think there's a lot of credence to that because people value the benefits that they receive, and it's just not a matter of what you got on your pay stub. So that's part of it. But there's also a number of other forces at work that are keeping wages low. The fact is, there's still just a lot of people who are still part-time unemployed, or so they're part-time employed, but they'd rather be full-time employed. You still have a lot of people who are discouraged workers, so labor force participation rate is very low. So even though the headline unemployment number is looking good, it's 5.7%, so that's pretty decent, it still has a lot of room where it could go lower. So there's just not a lot of pressure right now to push those wages higher.
Now, with that workforce non-participation, the unemployment rate actually, I think, ticked up by 0.1% or something like that. So it looks like unemployment increased, but apparently that's because people are getting back into the workforce. The people who had given up, maybe discouraged is the usual word that applies, are more encouraged to get back on the job market.
That's right. And so there's always, when you see the unemployment rate change, it can change for a good reason or for a bad reason. In this case, the increase in the unemployment rate was actually for a good reason. It's because there are more people who are entering into the labor force. So perhaps they were actually outside of the labor force. They had just given up looking for work, and so they just threw in the towel. Now they're beginning to come back in. Hopefully that's a trend that will continue, although I have to be honest, it's a trend that I've been looking to change for the last couple of years. I thought that back in 2013, we were going to start seeing the labor force begin expanding a little bit more rapidly, which would then push the unemployment rate higher. But that didn't really happen much. So maybe it's early to say, but maybe with the decline in oil prices, increase in consumer confidence, continued high corporate profits, maybe people are getting a little bit more encouraged so that when they threw in the towel, they're beginning to kind of pick themselves back up and get back into the labor force.
Now, with the overall overall numbers, the big new job creation numbers from the last few months, from the last year, depending on which scale you look at. These are the best since 2009, in some cases the best since 1999, I guess, if you look at the year as a whole. What is driving that? Is this the sign of an economic recovery engine finally starting to turn over there?
It's starting to appear as though it's running on all four cylinders instead of just on three cylinders or even on two cylinders. So I think that it's a sign. The labor market is oftentimes viewed as being a lagging economic indicator, so it moves after the rest of the economy does. Typically, corporate profits expand first. So you see that showing up in like the GDP numbers. You see that sort of economic activity, and the labor market is a little bit sluggish in responding. And so I think it's just a matter of things are beginning to kind of begin firing on all cylinders for the U.S. economy. When you saw the GDP numbers for the second quarter and then the third quarter both being above 4%, fourth quarter came in at around 2.6%, so it was a little bit slower, but it's still a fairly decent pace, and it's actually at the point now where businesses, they're recognizing that, hey, if you want to expand, you might need to hire more people in order to do that. So that's why I think that we're beginning to see some of these better payroll numbers gains. Another thing, though, that's contributing to it is you have a lot of people who are working multiple jobs. One of the things that I noticed in the employment situation report was that as of January 2014, so looking back a year ago, about 4.7% of people who are employed were holding multiple jobs. Now that's up to 5%. So that's a slightly disturbing trend, and so I'm hoping that that doesn't get too much higher, because you don't necessarily want to have it where people feel as though in order to make ends meet that they have to be holding down more than one job.
A couple more points I wanted to touch on briefly. The sort of person who watches the economy is watching and waiting for the Federal Reserve to eventually increase interest rates. Talk they might do that in the fall. Now with these numbers, maybe sooner. What are you looking for there?
I'm looking for the Federal Reserve to probably increase interest rates at their September meeting. And that's not really an out-of-consensus call here or anything. I'm just looking at various financial contracts that are traded on what are called federal funds futures. And you can, from that, infer when the Fed might increase interest rates. And it seems to be kind of moving between either their June meeting or their September meeting. And honestly, for the economy, I'm not sure if it matters so much, because when they do begin raising rates, they're going to move it from right now it's a range of 0 to 0.25% to probably 0.25% to 0.5%. So it's a very, very small change. I don't think that when the Fed begins raising rates, they're going to do it because they feel as though they need to slow down this economy or they need to get in front of inflation. I think it's because they recognize that by keeping interest rates as low as what they are, it's creating distortions. I mean, anytime you artificially lower prices or raise prices, it creates distortions. And I think the Fed kind of wants to get out of that a little bit, and that's why they refer to it not as tightening of monetary policy. They've been referring to it as normalization of monetary policy, because they recognize what they've been doing is very abnormal, but they don't want to move abruptly. They don't want to create too many waves, and so I think that's why they want to go slow and steady. And on February 24th, that's when Chair Yellen is going to be testifying before the Senate, delivering her semiannual report that she always does. At that meeting, she'll probably give a lot of explanation about what the Fed is thinking, about when they might raise rates, and about how quickly they'll raise rates.
And on the global stage, the story for a while has been, well, we've had a mediocre recovery, but that's pretty good compared to Europe and Japan, where the economy's not doing well. But is there a risk that what's happening over there, their tepid economies might hold us back in some way, or even pull us back down?
It is entirely possible, because the Federal Reserve has made mention of that in their latest policy statement, saying that they're monitoring international developments because they recognize that this is an globally integrated economy where what happens with our trading partners will affect us. And so we want to see Europe growing more rapidly. We want to see Asia growing more rapidly because it benefits us as well. And I do see early indicators that the European economy especially is beginning to grow at a slightly faster pace. Once they get through some of this turmoil, the standoff between Greece and its creditors about the austerity and bailout programs, once they get through that, which I am confident that they will by the end of February, I think that we're going to see in the economic data coming out of Europe that they're beginning to grow at a slightly faster clip here.
Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Brian Jacobson. He's Chief Portfolio Strategist at Wells Fargo Funds Management and Associate Professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College.